It was this guy, one of the CEOs, the females. She went down there to take account. And she said, oh, you just going to off right there? You see me here? And you ain't going to stop? Obviously, he didn't stop. I said, don't worry. I'm going to take care of it. I said, you come off the tier. So I went down there, and I'm like, yo, what you doing? And that was a new dude, you know. He said, oh, you must then read my floor card. This is what I do. Yo, you ain't going to do that down here, man. You understand? Man, f*** CEO. Me? All right. Yo, Rich Bird, crack dirty cell. And so I went in. I said, now, you want to say that again? Yo, CEO, man. Yo, man. You know how it is, man. I know how what is. Man, f*** it, man. I did it. What you want? Once he throw his hands up, you getting it. Because once you throw your hands up, you are a threat to me. I did the 52 pickup on that boy. When I finished with him, he didn't know what happened.
Oh, man. I am so, so excited to share this episode with you. Leroy Ebron, a former Rikers Island correctional officer, is here to share the insanity that was his career over the course of working in the maximum security segregation unit for 22 years in one of this country's most notorious prisons, Rikers Island. Let's not waste any time and jump right into this exciting episode. So sit back, relax, and get ready to lock in with Leroy Ebron. Leroy, welcome, man, to Locked In. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Mm-hmm. Very grateful we connected. Your friend who's watching us right now, who's going to be coming on the show.
Yes, Duran.
Yeah, Duran. He connected us. He's like, hey, I got a friend of mine that was a Rikers Island correctional officer for 22 years.
Yes.
But that's not just the half of it. You worked in the SHU, right? The solitary?
The solitary. I did my whole time in the solitary, which is called the Bing.
The Bing they called
it? They call it the Bing. That's the worst area in the jail where nobody want to go.
What years were you active there?
From 1986 to 2006.
1986. How old were you in 1986?
I went in around 18, 19
years old.
Yeah, I was in between there, and I went in, and I was young when I went in there, you know what I'm saying?
What made you decide to become a CEO at that age?
To be honest, I didn't want to be a CEO. At the time, I was running the street wild, you know, like we do when you're young, you know. You run the street, and I was hanging with some very, very notorious people. And I guess my mother seen that. And one night I came in and she said, Leroy, she said, I want you off of these streets because I don't want you to wind up in jail or dead. So she sat there every night when I come in. She'd be at the kitchen table with her Bible and she had a chief paper. The chief give you jobs. You understand? And she would fill out applications and say, listen, you're going to take the police officer test, sanitation test, post officer test, MTA test, and then it came correction. And every time I come in, it was a different test for me to take. And if it wasn't for her, well, shall I say, if it wasn't for God and her, I wouldn't be here right now. Because all the guys that I was hanging with, they all wind up going where I'm at. They wind up coming in zoo, and I see them.
Wow. Where were you, where did you grow up? What city?
I grew up in Brownsville, in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah, Van Dyke Projects, on the south side.
Do you think if children had a parent, a mother or a father figure like your mom was to you, that the world would be a different place?
Oh, yes, very, very. Very different, you know. Thank God my mom's 99. I'm here to tell her, Mom, look, I didn't wind up dead, but I did wind up in prison, but I wind up in prison on the good side, on a different way. And I helped out a lot of people. I used to have a composition book, the little black and white book, and I used to jot down how many prisoners I done saved from getting stabbed and raped. And I stopped at like 2,500. And then one morning I said, you know what? I don't know why I'm writing in this book, because I'm always going to do that. So I took the book, I threw it in the garbage, and the rest is history. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The rest is history.
You have a very unique perspective because so much time has passed since you've retired.
Yeah.
And you're able to talk freely about kind of the situations that, you know, you encountered over there, whereas like sometimes we'll have a prison guard or a correctional officer come on the show where they're still employed or right. they're still active in law enforcement and still right. a part of that. So their perspective might be a little bit different than yours.
Right.
And I'm sure I can't even imagine the things you've seen in Rikers Island, one of the most notorious prisons in the country, if not the
That's
world.
That's right. It's, you know, it's over 4,000 acres of land there. You got 10 jails up there. And back in the 80s, we had over 25,000 inmates in there.
25,000?
Yes.
At one time?
At one time.
What's the capacity, or is that over capacity?
Well, no, it goes more than that. Like, Warden Robertson, thank God for Warden Robertson. You know, that man done so much for me. You know, Warden Robertson, Depp Andrews, you know, Depp Belly, you know, Depp Richards. You know, I have to give them a big shout-out because I followed them. Warden Robertson was my mentor, you know, and I watched every step they do, and that got me through corrections. It really did. Because all you got to do is be fair. You understand? A lot of people wasn't fair in there, man. You know, I almost lost my job. 3 months on the job. I almost got fired.
3 months in?
3 months in.
What happened?
I walked in. The bells is ringing. You see the squad outside, the squad. They got their sticks, their helmets. And they beating the hell out of somebody. Beating them, bam, bam, bam. And, you know, I'm like, somebody just told me, look down and see who they beating like that, man. And when I go over there and I look, I get mad when I think about it. You know who it was? It was It was my milk and cookie, peanut butter jelly, eating neighbor. We grew up as kids together. And they was beating the shit out of me. And when I looked at him, and he looked up at me, and I said, Donald? And then what really made me flip out was this officer came over there and took his foot and was getting ready to take his foot, put it on his forehead, and scrape it. Now, when they do that, your skin peel right off your face. And when I saw him doing that, I blanked out. I forgot who I was. All I know is that's my, you know, my neighbor, my best friend. I grabbed the officer, and I threw him against the wall. And everybody's like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And I'm like, what the hell y'all doing? He's handcuffed. He can't do nothing to y'all. And you can't wait to take the skin off his forehead? Then everybody backed up. And I'll never forget Depp Richards. Oh, big. We used to call him Chrome Dome. He was boyhead. But he mean, big dude, jolly green giant looking. He never smiled. Never smiled. He looked at me and said, officer, what's wrong with you? And I said, yeah, look, they get ready, you know, to peel his skin off his head. So he said, what? And I told him, he said, listen, you go in my office. So it was a little room on the side. I went in there. And he said, what's going on? And I said, listen, that officer was getting ready to peel his skin off his face, off his forehead. He was like, what? He said, you know what? I was wondering who was doing that. He said, you stay in here. I got to go out there and calm the officers down because they want to know why a new jack flipped on them for an inmate. So he went out there, said whatever he had to say to them guys. He came back in there to me and he said, listen. He said, okay, I understand what you did, why you did what you did. He said, but one thing you got to remember. He said, we got a code you go by. And the code is color blue. And I looked at him and I said, listen, if that's the code y'all live by, I don't want him. Because I'm not cold blue yet. I'm not there with y'all yet. I'm fresh. I'm only 3 months on the job. And he said, all right, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care. And he pat me on my back. And he told me, go ahead, you know. And I walked out, Ian. I walked out. But, you know, and that's something I can never forget.
How many times do you think that you've seen situations like that and you've thought about, wow, if my mom didn't put me on the straight and narrow, that could have been me?
That definitely. A lot of times, you know, I was with my man, you know, Tut, you know. Tut was a big part of my life. We ran together, you know, and let Tut out of jail, y'all. Tut, T-Black, come on home. Majesty, let them go. They did their time. Let them come home. You know, my thing is, I seen so much damaging stuff in there that you wouldn't believe. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad I'm here today to talk about it.
Because that's how we make changes.
Because that's how you make changes. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not censored.
There's, right.
I was reading, I was watching 60 Minutes. I don't know if you saw that. I saw the clips. They went into the federal prison.
Okay.
And they did an interview with one of the wardens. And it's just not accurate because they make you see what you want to see. These sites that go in there, it's all staged. It's not real.
It's not real.
Me and you talking isn't staged.
Right.
We don't have a script.
We don't have a script.
We're talking freely. You get comfortable with me and you talk about what the system's really like.
Yeah.
You know, what really goes on.
Yeah.
Not the news who covers it up, puts one side of the story out there and doesn't give a real perspective.
Listen, I lived this. There's nothing. They got a new saying out when, you know, when on YouTube you see a guy lying or something. They say, oh, he's capping. You know, see, me, they could never say that about me because I worked in there 22 years in the vein. I lived this shit. I saved their lives. If you read the comments on YouTube, you'll see how many lives I saved. I saved people from getting raped and everything. And not only raped by inmates, raped by captains. Back in the 80s, shit like that was going on.
It still goes on today.
We had a captain back in the day. He had a baby, a black baby on his muscle hanging from a loop. That's right. And he was proud of it. But when he be around me, he put that sleeve down because I look at him. He put that sleeve down. I don't play that. You know? I save a captain from getting severely injured or killed. His name was Captain Singh, Chinese captain. Love you, Captain Singh. Inmate Phu Quan. I'm going to give a shout out to Phu Quan. I'm going to give a shout out to Shaquel Shasha. You know, people like that, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? Feeder Bennett. Reason why I'm calling these people out, because these people, they was notorious in certain neighborhoods what they did. And I saved them, and they saved me. Reason why I say, because when it's on, it's on. When it's on, it's on. You got to remember, Rikers Island was one of the worst jails in the country. And don't take that lightly when they say worst. Oh, no, it was the worst. Anytime you got to hold your own or have something on you because you never know when it's coming at you, it's on, brother.
What kind of inmates were housed there during this time, just in the jail in general? What kind of charges in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s?
We had everything. We had everything, man. Rapists, killers, kingpins. You know, we had everything. And like I said, the area I worked, I had all the notorious people you could think of.
why did you get the job in solitary?
How did that happen? I took it, honestly, it's funny you say that. Because about 5 months on the job, they asked everybody, who want to work the Sega guest every year? Who want to work the Bing? Raise your hand. We was at roll call. We got about a good 200 officers at roll call. Nobody raised their hand. I raised my hand, and they looked over me. He a new jack. They ain't paying me no mind. But after a week, they noticed every time I raised my hand and nobody else wanted it, they said, why you want it so much? I said, because I can handle that. Because the reason why, I mean, I told you I was on the street before I got on the job. The guys that I knew was in the bank. I knew I could run that sucker. You got to be a different person to be in that bank. You got to turn into a beast to be in that bank. Because if you don't, you're going to get shitted down. They're going to throw piss on you. Kool-Aid. Fist. Anything you could think of, they're going to throw it on you.
Describe what the shoe, the Bing, is like. Like a physical description and kind of some of the inmates at our house there.
All right. The Bing. Like I told you, the Bing is when they violate an officer or they stab or they cut another inmate or whatever. That's when you go into the Bing. You could call it the Bing, the box, the segregation unit. You know, them are the words for the Bing. But they locked in 23 hours a day. They only come out for rec for 1 hour. But they get their they go to the law library and stuff like that. But everything is enclosed. You know what I'm saying? They get no commissary or nothing. Nothing at all.
Is there a shower in their cell?
They get a shower. You let them out one at a time to the shower.
And they're handcuffed.
And they're handcuffed.
Okay, and there's two people to a cell?
You take one person.
Oh, one person to a cell.
One person. When you get to a shower, you take the handcuffs off. Going in the shower. You know? When it's time for them to come out, we got a little slot they put their hand in. You put the handcuffs back on them. You come on back out. But see, the problem with that, it's a lot of people that didn't want to work the Bing is because they was lazy. They didn't want to do their job. If an inmate want a shower, let him get a shower. If you got to go to law library, let him go to law library. You know what I'm saying? You know, social service, let him go to social service. The problem comes when you don't give them what they're supposed to have. And I learned that from Deborah Andrews and Morton Robinson, like you say. Give them what they're supposed to have, and you'll be all right most of the time. You know what I mean?
That's what I realized when I was in solitary and the shoe in the Fed system. Mm-hmm. The officers that were lazy, the inmates would get pissed off at because in the shoe, they got to work. They have to make rounds. They got to put the trays for the food.
There you go.
They got to handcuff showers on shower days.
That's right.
The officers are miserable because they have to physically do the work.
And yo, listen, man, I'll tell you, I love the job. I loved it. They ran me out. They said I had too much power.
Honestly. Do you think you had too much power?
No, I think I had a lot of respect. I don't call it power because with power comes respect. And they don't look at it like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't look at it like that. I intervene in places where another officer just stand there and look. Now I jump right in the middle. Now you're not doing that to him. You're not doing that, Tim. Come on, man. And going back to what I told you about Captain Singh and the inmate Fuquan, it was a riot in the yard. And I could see through the window, they stabbing, they cutting. It's a bloody mess. And they like, Ebron, your Bing, they going off. Can you come out here and help us? So they sent another officer down to relieve me. And I ran out there in the yard, thank God. I ran out there in the yard just in time because Captain Singh, somehow he fell. And when he fell, Fuquan came over him with a banger and a razor. And he was going to stab him and cut him. And I just dove over his body. And I looked at Fuquan. I said, Fuquan, nah, not him, man. He a good one, man, not him. And Fuquan looked down at me. And he was on fire. And he looked at the captain and he said, "If it wasn't for Ebron, you'd be dead right now." And he moved away and ran off and stabbed and cut somebody else. I picked Captain Thing up off the floor and I carried him out. But what I didn't know while Fuquan was after him, he said Captain Thing slapped the shit out of him before they got in that yard. I didn't know that.
If you did, would you have still saved them?
Yeah, I would still save them. I would still save them. Because Fuquan would have got more time. Captain Singh, he'd been in the hospital. When you work under my watch, I want you to go home the same way you came in. That was my rule. That was my rule. Back in the 80s, they was cutting, dicing, and slicing in a heartbeat.
What were some crazy acts of violence you heard or of why someone was put in the shoe? Because a lot of times when you're working the unit, you don't witness it firsthand. You just find out what the guy did, right?
Right, yeah. But sometimes I couldn't even go out to chow. I couldn't go out to chow because they was after one of them. And like I say, some officers just don't think. And I was scared to go out to chow because, like I say, all right, you stabbed him. But he cut you, so now both of y'all are in the beam. So still, they still want each other. It's not over. But an officer will make a mistake like they did. I was trying to save this inmate. And they just want to cut him because they said he was a pretty motherfucker. For no reason at all. We going to get him. We going to get him. I'm like, yo, y'all not touching him. They say, Ebron, you can't sleep here, kid. When you here, you got it. But when you ain't here, he getting it. And I told the dude, I said, listen, don't come out your cell when I'm not here. You know, wait till maybe they time will be up and you'll be out of here, but they want you. You fresh meat to them. And I didn't go to chow for about good, 3 weeks. And the one time, personnel called me. I had to go to personnel office. They sent another officer down there to relieve me. By the time I get up the stairs, the bells was ringing. And I'm like, where's the alarm at? They said, Ebron, that's your house. My house? I said, oh, shit. And I sprint around to run back downstairs. When I got downstairs, you know the inmate that I told you about? They got him. Now, how did they get him? I asked the officer, why did you let him out of his cell? If you're going to let him out of his cell, you got to make sure nobody else is out with him. The inmate going to look at me, Ebron, it's okay. It's okay. They finally got me. And when he said that, his tongue came out the side of his motherfucking face. It was wiggling like this. And he grabbed it and stuck it back in his mouth. That's why I tell you, Rocket Island was Rocket Island. It was real.
Was it dangerous for you as a correctional officer to work the shoe, even though everyone's locked up and handcuffed to travel, does it get dangerous?
Oh, yes, it get dangerous because sometimes they can rip that cell open.
How do they rip a cell open?
They grab it by the end. Like if an officer goes to close it, sometimes they throw something in between the cell, like some tissue or something where it don't close all the way and the officer ain't paying it no mind. And they'd be halfway open. So then when another officer come down, they want them, they rip it open, and they jump out on them with a banger, you know what I'm saying, or a razor, you know, and it's on.
In the shoe.
In the shoe, it's on.
How do they get a razor?
They got visitors bring them in.
They still get a visit while they're in the shoe.
Oh, yeah, they still get a visit while they're in the shoe. But they most of the time they was getting on visits and stuff like that. They could get it in the mail, you know, stuff like that.
It's a different time period.
Yeah, they could get it in the mail, you know. You got to watch when they kiss their girlfriend. Sometimes their girlfriend is good like them, and slide it to them.
A razor in their mouth.
A razor in their mouth.
And they're just gunning for the COs.
They're gunning for anybody.
Just because they want to get into something.
Yeah, just because they want to get into something, you know. So because you was a CO, you wasn't safe.
Did anyone try to attack you violently during your early years before you gained the respect on the compound?
No, not really, because they knew who I was on the street before I got to jail. So most of my use of forces was saving a life from hanging up or cutting another person. You know, if you ask me 22 years, how many fights, how many altercations did you get into? I could say about 10. I could count them on my hand. Because I had a reputation before I got into jail. Now, I was one of the few officers that could wear their jewelry in jail. You know, it was one time I'm walking through the hall, and this inmate just blowed it out. He called me by my government name. Yo, Leroy, yo, how you get this job, nigga? And the captain was walking by. He said, man, that nigga, you know what that is? And the captain said, hey, you go grab that inmate and tell him whatever you used to do, you don't do that no more. Set him straight. Captain Boone. Thank you, Captain Boone. I went and grabbed that inmate. Dude I know from the street. Told him, your son. What are you thinking? You can't talk like that, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I just don't know how you got that job, man. I'll talk to you later. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? I said, but this is me now.
They didn't have, like, conflict of interest or anything. Like, I got put in solitary because a guard reported that I dated his cousin. So they didn't have that back then?
They ain't going to put you in solitary because you dated his cousin.
Well, they did that to me. They had to get me off the compound. They wouldn't allow the two of us on the yard together. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is wild.
So I sat in solitary, the bang you, I guess you would call it, in the feds for 6 months because of that almost.
Wow. Like you said, you know, different rules change and stuff like that, but that's crazy. To put you in there.
Would you have looked out for an inmate like me if you saw someone like me?
I looked out for everybody, and I think that's why they calling me one of the Rackers Island legends, because I didn't care who you were. I didn't care who you were. Like I said, my mother was a Christian, and she said, Leroy, you are in a good place to talk to guys in there about God. And in my mind, they don't want to hear about no God, you know what I'm saying? But it came to a point when I see an inmate banging his head on the wall or slicing his wrists or eating feces.
They eat feces?
Eating feces.
You got to tell us that. How would that happen?
Because they can't take it. The walls are closing in on me, Ebron. Don't worry. When it's like that, I'll open the cell. Come on out, man. Come get some air. Walk him in the day room, sit down, talk to him. Let him get something to eat, something to drink, turn on the TV for a little bit, till he calmed down. Other officers don't do that. They didn't do that. You got to be a different breed like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't do that. But I did it. It was one inmate. I tried to talk to him about God and stuff. I said, hey, man, you know, you need to read the Bible. You need God in your life, man. He said, Ebron, I read the Bible every day. And he was rolling up something. He said, I said, what's that you smoking? He said, I got God in me every day. He was smoking a page of a Bible. He said, God is inside me every day, bro. I'm like, this, you going to hell, boy. And we just start laughing, you know what I mean?
Were there female COs working in the shoe?
They had female COs, but my team, we didn't want them like Nelson, Martin, Richburg, Patterson, Wilson, Rutter, you know, we did not want them with us because it was a problem. You know, even Richburg, that's my other problem. It's a problem because when they see them, they haven't seen a female in a long time. They ain't a bean. So when they, you know what's going to happen? They're going to get on the gate and start beating.
Yeah, they call it sniping, gunning.
Sniping, we call it beating. They beat off. Like that record. How we beat off. How we beat off. That's how they do it. Or they be like, I got it. Did you get that? They go, get what? That mean they just bust on the field.
How do you respond to these inmates that do that?
Now, I didn't allow it. And that's why we always, when the female CEOs came down, we always like, no, don't worry, we got it. Because we already know what it's going to cause. It's going to cause havoc. So we send them out, tell the captains, Cap, we got it. Don't worry about it. You know, but when it did happen, it was a female that I know. I was close to her brother, you know, once again, Miss, God bless her heart, Miss Johnson. And at the time, I had the adult beam. That's when they brought the HCM to C-74, you know, and it was this guy. She was... He was popping so much shit in on the COs, the females. She went down there to take account. And she said, oh, you just going to beat off right there and you see me here and you ain't going to stop? Obviously, he didn't stop. She said, Ebron, you got this disrespectful inmate over here beating off right in front of me. I said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. I said, you come off the tier. So she came off the tier. Like I said, it's not because she was a friend of someone I knew or somebody's sister. It's just, you don't do that shit. You don't do that shit when I'm working. So I went down there, and I'm like, yo, what you doing? And that was a new dude, you know. He said, oh, you must then read my floor card. This is what I do. Yo, you ain't going to do that down here, man. You understand? Man, fuck you, CO. Fuck me? Now, everybody here, this is my housing area. When you talk to everybody in the cells hear you, you going to say, fuck me? All right. Yo, Rich Bird, crack dirty cell. And so I went in there. I said, now, you want to say that again? Yo, CO, man. Yo, man. You know how it is, man. I know how what is. Man, fuck it, man. I did it. What you want? Once he throw his hands up, you getting it. Because once you throw your hands up, you are a threat to me. I did the 52 pickup on that boy. When I finished with him, he didn't know what happened.
What'd you do? What's a 52 pickup?
If I tell you, I got to kill you. You know what I'm saying? I did the 52 pickup on him. Walked out the cell. I said, close, dirty cell. No, don't close my cell. Don't close my cell. Let me out. Let me out. I said, yo, let him out of cell, man. Let him out of cell. He come out of cell. He looking like Edward Scissorhand done got to that nigga. Because I tell you, I wear my rings. Boop, boop, bop, bop. He look like Edward Scissorhands on that nigga. Right? I want to go to the clinic. I want to go to the clinic. Oh, wait, you was a gangster. Now you want to go to the clinic? Yo, call the captain, call the dad. Now the whole tier, they flipping. You ain't going no clinic. Snitches get snitches, boy. You come from HDM? Now you calling for a captain? You want to go to the clinic? But you want to be gangster? First you was beating off? What? So the captain come down. Said, Ebron, what's up? I said, ain't nothing. Captain just had to tighten somebody up for being disrespectful. He want to see you. So he come down. He looking like Edward Scissorhands. Don't ask me where he got the Band-Aids at, because he had like a lot of, it looked like a goddamn checkerboard set on his face. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Cap, man, look what he did to me. I want to go to the clinic. Captain said, boy, you ain't going to no damn clinic. I heard what you did. Go in there and wash your face, lick your wounds. He was like, all right, man. Yo, E-Man, yo, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Yo, you disrespect him, son. Don't come down here. We don't play that down here. So he wound up going to his cell. And I had no more problems with that dude. I had no more problems with that dude. None.
So do the captains, the higher-ups, do they turn a blind eye to stuff like this when they know the inmate acted out of pocket?
It depends who the captain is. You know, he was a known troublemaker. You know, he was a known troublemaker all the way. You know, hey, if you want an infraction, I give you an infraction. But you still going to be, you want to stay with me more? You want to stay longer? Nah. Get me the fuck out of here. All right, well, you good.
So would that ever happen to an innocent inmate, someone that wasn't causing trouble, where the COs just, you know, go in on them, beat the crap out of them? Like in the movies, kind of?
You know, listen, things happen, you know. I've seen shit. It happens, you know. Not proud to say it, but it happens, man. You know, it's not a good thing, you know. But when I was there, shit gonna be right. You know, I saved a lot of lives, man. Like I tell you, you know, I had one time my bean go out to the yard. 20 of them go out. 19 come back. Yo, where's what's his name at? Well, Ebron, what's his name, got him in the basement. He pulled him off the line. Now, remember I told you about that captain with the loose? He pulled him off the line. He pulled him off the line? I'm gone. Shoot in the basement. But Ian, when I went in the basement, I slammed the door because I'm rushing now. But sometimes when you slam a door too hard, what happens? It pops back open. Boop. Not knowing that's what happened. I slammed the door, it popped back open. Now I run up on the captain. He's with these two other officers that I don't know. And they trying to handcuff him and bring him down. So I'm like, yo, Cap, what you did? Tell me. You back up. You get out of here. Go back to your post. What? No. That's my inmate. What'd he do? Tell me. No, you get out of here. We got this. Remember what I told you. Baby on his arm hanging. I ain't going no fucking way. Listen. Let him go. Then all of a sudden, I hear a louder voice. You better let him go. And I turn around. Yo, Ian. Remember I told you that door popped back open? All the inmates was right behind me. All 19 of them. They said, you better let him go. Captain looked at me. He let him go. He said, that's all right. After I'm coming, I'm making my tour and I'm going to come see you. I said, well, you come on. You know where he at? Come on. Captain never came back, Ian. I called it Depp Andrews. Told him what happened. Depp Andrews said, don't worry, Ebron, I'm going to take care of him. Whatever he did, he took care of him. I never saw that captain again.
Wow.
I never saw him again.
Now, some of the higher-up guards that have been there have a lot of pull and power over some of these newcomers that become captains or lieutenants or whatever.
Right, right.
There's a lot of power in that, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of power in that, you know what I'm saying? And you got to give respect where respect is due. But don't let them play you. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them play you. I mean, I learned from the best just by watching people like Officer Ball, you know. You know, he was a big part of my learning experience. You got RoboCop and Thatcher and Darwish, you know. It's people, you know, Frank, you know. I can't name them all because I'd be here all day, you know, Vickers, and it's people that I admire and I watch. And I took a piece of them, and I took a piece of him, and I took a piece of him. You know, my man Pickering, you know, Rodriguez and Gonzalez. I'm taking pieces from every officer, and I'm putting them in me, and that's how I built my ass up. Like, now I'm motherfucking Voltron.
What were some principles you had as an officer that you followed throughout your whole career that you would never go back on?
Like I told you, whether you're officer or inmate, I want you to go home the same way you came in. You know what I'm saying? And in Rikers Island, that is hard. Because like I told you, they were slicing and dicing like a mall. And one thing I did not stand for is cutting. I didn't want nobody to get cut, man. Because that's from here to here, all around there, down your back, your neck. I done seen it all. That's why this is not going to be my only episode with you. Because I got the lot to give. You know what I'm saying?
You have
saying?
To come like once a quarter or
you
something.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you, man, you know, man, I don't even know where to begin for you. You know, the littlest thing that we take for granted, like chicken. Chicken is like filet mignon in jail back in the 80s.
I think it still is in prison. It's still like a filet
mignon. It's like filet mignon, man.
Yeah.
You see something? I had inmates almost get murdered over a small box of frost flakes. You had to be somebody to get a box of Frosted Flakes.
Show it to that camera right there. Right here.
You had to be somebody to get a box of Frosted Flakes. You understand me? You had to be somebody. A regular person, they're not getting a Frosted Flakes. They eating like that shredded wheat. They give them shredded wheat or something.
The frosted shredded wheats aren't bad.
No, you got I ain't talking about frosted.
I know, but you got
the right one. I'm talking about the one that's dry. You be like,
I got a picture of you.
You know, you got some milk? You got some milk? Nah. This right here, back in the 80s, everybody know what I'm talking about. You get murdered over a little box of Frosties. This little box. I done seen people get cut from ear to ear for this. Straight up.
So tell the story about the Frosted Flakes incident.
All right, the Frosted Flakes. I come in one morning, and all the inmates are saying, Ebro, I'm hungry. I mean, what do you mean you're hungry? Now, I come in at 7. They had breakfast around 5 o'clock in the morning. So by then, they already ate. But I come in at 7, and my whole being is like, yo, we hungry. Yo, E, we ain't eat. What you mean you ain't eat? Well, what you had? They gave us some butter, some bread, and some jelly. That's all? They gave us some Kool-Aid. Nah, you supposed to have more than that. You got milk? No cereal or nothing? Some of them don't want to say nothing. Did you hear, yo, E? Yeah, they had cereal, but we ain't get none. What you mean you ain't getting them? We ain't getting none. Only certain ones got some. So when you hear that, now I know what they had. They had the old reliable Frosted Flake.
Yeah, you can hit that.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Look, an inmate.
An inmate's calling you right now?
An inmate calling me.
Why don't you answer? Say hello.
All right.
Take the call. So you're on locked in.
Hello, Brandon.
Yo, what's up, bro?
I'm on lock. Listen, I'm on TV right now, and you are on locked in with Aaron Bick. Say hello.
Hey, what's up? What's good?
All right. You happen to call, and they videoing me, and he said, go ahead, pick up. I said, all right. And so you are on live TV. You're going to be... You'll be seeing and hearing this in about a week or two, whenever they air it.
Okay.
Like I
told you the text earlier, I vouched for you. And I'm sure mad dudes from Brooklyn in the 80s and the early 90s can vouch for you. So it's not like it's just me. And Mr. Dick were here almost unanimously that, you know, homie is the official dude. So he got my tape. You know what I'm saying? They for public consumption. And it is what it is, man.
He wanted to ask you, well, you want to ask him something, Aaron? What was different about me or something?
Ask him what you want him to hear. Yeah.
All right, Aaron. All right, what was different about me that you could let the people know?
Straight up fair and in a system that inherently is unfair. Not corrupt, but at the same time, had a love for his people that you don't see in corrections. He loved his people. It was clear he was there to make sure everybody got home safe. But at the same time, like, you know, he was an officer. So I don't know. It was weird. You know, I can say on record, I had love for him. I never seen him beat nobody down, which is rare. I never seen him do no police shit, you know, oppressing somebody. So it was very rare in a very violent and oppressive environment to see somebody wearing that uniform and actually having love and empathy for the brother.
I guess he didn't know though that you had to do the Edward Scissorhands, the old one
too. I told him about the guy. Tut's sister was working with me one day and one of the adults from HTM, he was beating off.
Yeah, he
was beating off, and when you do something like that, if you violate, what you get?
Well, that's rainbow vibes, bro. I mean, that's different. I'm talking about, I mean, you know, like, some things you bring on yourself. I mean, you don't beat off on no chick and try to rape no chick. That's rapo stuff, and rape, and as everybody knows, rapos and rapo vibes are not tolerated in the penitentiary. Everybody will get you for that. So you can take that for what it's worth.
That's right. And I told him I did the Edward Scissorhand on him. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. They gonna think this is set up.
Yo, this is another inmate calling me.
All right, let's get back in the interview.
Okay, let me go.
That's awesome. You have those relationships because that shows who you are as a prison guard and a man.
Yeah, just because I retired, don't mean I lose contact. I try to get these guys jobs.
That's good, man.
You know, I try to get these guys jobs, you know. I got a guy, a job working in McDonald's, and I sat there with him, and I said, listen, there's an Ebro. I don't want to wait no damn McDonald's. I said, listen, when you go home, don't get a job in McDonald's in your neighborhood. Go somewhere else and get a job where people don't know you.
Change the scenery.
Yeah. I said, the reason why I'm telling you this, McDonald's back then in the 80s, it had a turnover like this, turnaround, because everybody had that same mentality. Oh, I don't want to work at McDonald's. But in 4 weeks, you moving up. You know, you get promotions, you'll be a manager within a year.
Yeah.
And I was driving down Atlantic Avenue one day, pulling the drive-thru. Can I have a Big Mac, 6-piece and some fries? Ebron, is that you? I wanted to cry. Somebody listened to me. Ebron, look, I'm a manager. What you say, work.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't in vain. You know, it wasn't in vain.
Now you got to tell us the rest of the Frosted Flakes story before we got interrupted.
Okay, all right.
About the guy that was going to get cut or something over the Frosted
Flakes.
Yeah,
over Frosted. Now this is about everybody know the notorious Born Son. I mean, he upped it on YouTube. Born Son took over Brownsville. Born Son did this. He was a terror in his day. But now he's a changed man. You know, thank God he's a changed man now. But back then, Born Son.
Did they get a picture of you with this?
Born Son, you remember this? Born Son was the Frosted Flake thief. I had Born Son working for me in the bean. That morning, like I said, they didn't eat. So I said, who was working? And they said, Born Son. Once they said his name, I was like, I said, okay, I'll be right back. I told the officer, I said, listen, what house Born Son in? They told me a house. I go to Born Son area where he at. I'm banging on the door. The officer let me in. I said, yo, where Born Son at, man? Where's cell at? They say, Ebon, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Don't worry, I got it. Where he at? I go over there, Born Son on his bed, big bowl of Frosted Flake, milk dripping down the side of his face. What's up, E? What's up, E? What's going on? Yo, Born Son, man, you bugging. What up, E? Yo, you did the feeding and you didn't give him no Frosted Flake. Yo, E, what, they snitch? They snitch? Nah, son, but they, you... Where the Frosted Flakes at, Born? Where at? Oh, man, them niggas done snitched on me. Yo, open the cell. Open the cell, look under the bed. The whole box of Frosted Flakes. He got the whole case under his bed. He done fed them guys jelly, butter bread, Kool-Aid, but they did not get no Frosty. He said, Ebon, they don't rock no Frosty Flakes. I'm like, yo, come on, man. Give me the box, man. Come on. You know, so we kind of put Born Son on a burn, took the job for about 2 weeks. See, do we learn his lesson? Because it was hard to get somebody to work in the Bing. Anybody can't work the Bing. They will cut him. I'm telling you. Yo, your son... Bring me a razor. If you don't bring me a razor, I'm going to split your wig, nigga. Don't come in here tomorrow without no razor. I'm telling you. And as you know, they bringing him a razor. And if he don't bring him a razor, he going to get cut. And that don't mean he going to get cut by him. The word is down the tier. Yo, he didn't bring what we asked him. And they'll tear their ass up. They'd tear their ass up. You know what I'm saying? So it was one day, I couldn't get nobody to work for me. I'm like, what am I going to do now? Who comes through the jail? Big Ro. Big Ro is a booty bandit. Big Ro knocked niggas out with his dead arm. Big Ro wears his pants all the way to his stomach. And he walked through the hall like this. And he walking through the hall. And I seen inmates in the huddle one day. I said, what are these guys in the huddle? We don't do this in jail. It was by the gym. So I go over there. I'm like, yo, what's going on? So I walk between them and look. Big Ro on his knees like this. And he turned around and looked at me. He said, yo, hey. I said, Big Ro, what you doing? He said, you know, I'm schooling the little homies, you know, I'm schooling the little homies. I said, man, y'all get up and get out of here, y'all. And they was like, okay, yo. So I look at Ro and Ro say, yo, what's poppin', pa? What's up? I said, came to my, like a light up in your head? Bing! Yo, Big Ro, you need a job? Yo, hey, you gonna give me a job? You need a job? Yeah, I'll give you a job. Ain't nobody want to give me a job. You got a job. Come with me. I bring Big Ro down in the Bing with me. Right? He come down in the Bing. I said, now, Ro, you know how this go. You know, you bring them the trays, you know, when the food come and stuff. And he said, I got this, E. Right? Now, he got a repetition all over Brownsville, all over Brooklyn. Manhattan, everywhere. Big Rumblers know he's a notorious booty bandit.
And this is an inmate or a guard?
This is an inmate.
An inmate that you were allowed to just have him work with you and help you?
Huh?
He was allowed to just help you?
Yeah, listen, I'm the Bing officer. Nobody can't work down there. We need somebody.
Okay, so you get the booty bandit to help you.
I got the booty bandit.
So what happens next?
So now Big Ro comes down there. And he's sitting at the table by the bubble. The captain comes in. Captain come in. And he, hey, E, what up? Hey, how you doing? He walked by and he looked down and he see Big Ro and he kept walking. Then he stopped. Matter of fact, the captain was Captain Kelly, big black captain, my man. He turned around and looked. He ain't finished walking down the tier. He came back to me and said, Ebon, come here for me. I said, yo, Cap, what's up, man? He said, Ebon, you know who that is? I said, yeah, that's Big Ro. He said, yo, that's the booty bandit. I said, I know I got him. He said, Ebon, you better be careful. You don't let them run up on them when these kids, be boys up down here and get up in them. I said, don't worry about it. I got this. I said, Ro, go ahead and give out the food. I'm watching them. Ro go down there with the wagon. On your gate! When they see his Ro, the first inmate says, yo! Everybody play your gate! They get on the gate. They said, oh, hell fucking no. Bro said, who want the Kool-Aid? Get on the gate. Everybody get on the gate. And when they saw it was Ro, there was, when he gave him the Kool-Aid, they got the little green cup, the hand come out like this. The Kool-Aid spilling all over the fucking head. Okay. Right, but I see this Kool-Aid dripping, right? They say, yo, he born out, he big rolling. Yo. All right, now they got their food. Now, here go the kicker. Okay. All right, who want to take a shower? Ain't nobody coming out. Nah, that's all right. We don't want no shower. Nobody come out for the motherfucking shower.
They don't want the booty bandit to get them.
They ain't coming out with no stuff. But, yo, y'all was bad. Y'all was cutting, slicing and dicing, you know, threatening everybody. But now I got a real one down here with me. They don't want to come out for no shower.
So it was normal to have an inmate working with the prison guard?
Oh, yeah. You got a house gang. You got suicide aides.
Okay.
Born son was a suicide aide, but he worked, you know, a different tour than mine. But, I had Ro, you know, and even when Ro went back to regular population after, I had to walk him back to his house because he was that notorious. When the inmates see him walk, people go the other way. And that's some real talk. They was going the other way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like I tell you, he walked through the hall like this, got his belt all the way to his stomach, like he was from Beverly Hillbillies. So he looked different, you know. Big dude, he looked different. But he walked with a slant. That arm pulled have been dead. They said he knocked out a horse with that arm. You know what I'm saying? And that's how he was knocking everybody out, with that dead arm. I mean, when I went to his housing area to get him, the officer looked at me and said, Ebron, thank you for taking him. Because he was in the day room. Now, you know what day room. He was in the day room with a TV, all by himself. And these are adults. Instead of them being in the day room with him, they was in the corner where they not supposed to be hanging at. Nobody went in that day room with him. Nobody. So they was relieved when I went down there to get him. What shocked me was when I went down to get him, I said, bro, come on with me, because he was writing the letter. He wasn't even scared of nothing. Because you're not never supposed to turn your back in jail. You're always supposed to keep your eyes open everywhere. Always be aware, because shit pop off just like that. But Ro, he was like this, writing a letter. I leaned to him, I said, yo, Ro. He like this. Hey, E. I said, yo, you all right? He said, I'm just writing my grandmother. I said, all right, well, you go ahead and write your grandmother, and I come back for you. No, 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 I want to go with you, E. All right, come on. So he get up. All the inmates, like I told you, is in the corridor. Grown men. Not no adolescents, these grown men. He walked to one of the men and said, stand by my cell until I get back. And don't let nobody touch nothing. Dude said, all right. When I walked him out that gate, I seen everybody going in the day room to look at TV. Tell me that ain't something, man.
Yeah.
Officer told me when I brought him back later that afternoon, that inmate that he told to stand by his cell was still there when I got back.
And there's guys that gain that much respect and power in prison, you know? They know how to do it.
Yeah.
Now, Leroy, you got to give us an honest perspective on this. How do correctional officers really treat sex offenders, rapists, pedophiles, chomos? What is that relationship? How are they actually treated?
They don't like them, man. Point blank, they don't like them, you know?
Are they doing stuff that's illegal, though, to these individuals?
Well, like I said, when around me, no. But I apparently, it could happen. It could happen because once you hear he's a rapist or a pedophile or whatever, his career, his jail time ain't going to be nice.
But do you think, though, that as a society that they should be protected in prison?
They gotta be, or they're gonna get done.
But they have to be, no matter what, how heinous their crime is. They need to be protected.
Yeah, because you don't, they're gonna wind up dead if you don't.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. You know, I know they say I'll lay for them, just throw them to the wolves. If you throw them to the wolves, they're gonna get eaten.
I mean, look what happened to Dahmer. I was watching that Netflix documentary about Dahmer. The COs let that happen.
So you see what I'm saying?
Was that the right thing for the COs to do, though, or no?
No, because everything could always come back and bite you in your ass.
Yeah.
You know, like the Central Park Five, I was there for that. I had them.
Oh, you had the Central? Wow. I saw that documentary, too.
And, you know, it hurted me. Because they looked at me and they said, Ebron, we didn't do it. And I looked at them and they looked at, you know, you can't go by looks, but I felt it. They said, we didn't do it, man. And then, look, 25 years later, look, exonerated, they didn't do it.
Do you stay in touch with them to this day?
No, you know, I wish they hope they see this and I, you know, and I know they got railroaded because at the time, they didn't have no good lawyers, you know. I don't know the financial situation, but they told me they didn't have no money to really fight this case, you know what I'm saying? So my heart go out to them then. But when, I can't remember his name, the one that was exonerated in court, they showed it on news, and he started crying to the judge. I asked you to shed a tear because I felt like I was with him. He told me he didn't do it, but I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't help him. And look how many years he was in jail. So I just shed a tear with him when he started crying. I couldn't, you know, I felt that. Because they told me from the beginning that they didn't do it.
Wow.
You know, so it's crazy, man, you know. It's crazy, man. That's why when I tell you these things, I go back to the, you know, exact day and time it happened. You know what I mean? You know, because, Ian, I would have did over 22 years, but I was railroaded. Well, they tried to railroad me, and I made them look stupid. What happened, the inmate was hanging up. Me and this inmate, Majesty, reason why I can say his name, because I'm still talking to him and following him today. He got over 25 years in jail now. Okay? I heard he just went to Otisville right now. He was in Sing Sing. So he in Otisville with a couple of my other boys.
That's a Fed joint.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they tried to say me and him tried to kill an inmate. In reality, the inmate was hanging up. Ebron, we got to hang up. Five cell. Go down. Oh, God, this dude hanging up. I go in there. He's hanging so tight that I can't cut him down because they gave us these bullshit 9-11s. The knife that curl like that ain't worth for a butternut shit. I can't cut him down. I'm trying. But look, I'm off balance. I got 1 foot on the window, another foot on the top of the sink, and I'm holding with my left hand. So I'm calling for help. Majesty, with my suicide aid, he comes to help me. We go in there. I'll never forget the inmate name, Bish Me Hopkins. Love you, Bish. Wherever you at, I hope you're all right. Cut him down. This step tried to say that we tried to kill him in that cell. He went so far as I had to go down to Oath. He was pushing it. Ebro and the Majesty tried to kill us in there. So, all right, you doing that? I'm going to do my homework. I went and got papers notarized from every inmate in that area. Got it notarized, stamped, boom, boom, boom. I went to the clinic because when the dude was in the clinic, he told the doctor, Doc, Ebron saved my life. He told the doctor that. The doctor came and told me that. I said, Doc, could you put that on paper? He put it on paper. I said, okay. Now they want me to go down to Oath because this dep trying to set me up. We go down to Oath table. 20 people at a table. I'm looking at them. I'm all suited up. Got the union man there, Seabrook, the president. And the first thing they said to me is, you want to sign guilty now? Because we got you. You got who? We got you. So you might as well tell, sign on the dotted line. So I'm not signing nothing. I said, I got something for y'all. I had my folder like that. Don't ask me how I had to write them. I had 20 folders in my hand. I didn't know how many people was going to be in there. They sitting at the desk, and I take my folder like I'm a CEO. And right in front of them. They're like, what? They get ready to open it. Nah, don't open it. They look at me like, yeah, don't open it. I'll tell you when to open it. And I pass it around. Meanwhile, the president, Seabrook, and everybody looking like, in awe, awe. So I said, all right, you say you got me dead to right. Show me what you got. They said, we got you on video. Now, I've been hearing about this video shit for a minute. I said, now, if they got me on video, I'm good. And while I'm in the Oath, just like what just happened with me and you, my phone rang. They looking at me. I heard you not supposed to pick it up because you're in Oath. Fuck it. Hello? It was the deputy of security, Dep Andrews. Ebron, they trying to set you up. What? Yeah, they trying to set you up. When they show the film don't have hours, minutes, and seconds on it. That's how you're going to beat them. Check the film. And I'm in Oath right now. And they looking at me like you looking at me. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't even, think of that. I said, okay, thank you. And I'm on the phone. Now I'm feeling like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Another notch. So I'm like, they want to talk. No, I don't want to talk. Show me that video y'all got on me. Show me the video. They say, okay, he's so persistent. All right, you want sign line? All right, you show the video. Yeah, they show the video. No hours, no minutes, no seconds. And they look at it like, damn. I said, listen, this tape is documented. They said, what do you mean documented? I said, I work in the Bing. Where's the hour, minutes, and seconds on this tape? Yo, Ian, you should have saw their face when they looked at each other. And it was like, and all of a sudden they start closing the flap. Okay, this case is dismissed. I'm like, what? Y'all was ready to nail me to the cross, take my job. No, I want some vindication. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I tried to get a lawyer, and all they were saying was, don't worry, you're going to beat it. You know, nobody. Now, I hate to say this, y'all, but I think if I was a different color, honestly, a lawyer would say, come on, I got you.
So what, they push you into an early retirement?
No. After I beat that, the President Seabrook started clapping his hand. That's my man. That's my man in the old place. That's my man. But on the way out, he said, Ebron, you made them look stupid. He said, you got more than enough of your time. You both of us high in 20. You had 22.
Get the fuck out of there.
Get the fuck out of here. See?
Take your money before they try to take your
pension.
That's
what
man.
He said. Just that.
Smart man. Yeah.
Seabrook said it, and that's what I did, man.
What do you think is the biggest thing that needs to get fixed in the criminal justice system? From someone that lived the horrors of it, went to the end of the earth and saw the reality of how scary it can be and dangerous. What do you think?
Let the people know that's in the training academy what it really is. Don't sugarcoat shit. Cause the stuff they telling you in the academy is bullshit.
They should show a video like this.
It's bullshit. Cause when I walked into jail the first time, you know what I smell, Ian? And not even what I smell. Going over that Rackets Island Bridge is scary by itself. That's a long motherfucking bridge. What happens if that bridge collapses? How you gonna get back home? See, they don't think shit like that. But when I walked in that jail for the first time, you know what I smelled? I smelled butt-ass. Butt-ass. It was so bad. I mean, the funk hit you like, boom. I couldn't breathe. I was like, oh, shit. And every day I come in, that butt ass hits you, bam. And now you're talking to another officer. Now all y'all got the butt ass breath. How you doing? How you doing? You don't smell that shit. And I asked one of the old timers, the vets, yo, what's up with that smell? He said, don't worry, New Jack, you'll get used to it. It took me about, no bullshit, about 6 months before me to get used to that butt ass, son. I mean, yo, I used to feel like I'm playing double dutch before I walk into jail. One, two, and then I hold my breath. And I walk in that motherfucker. And I hold my breath. And I'm like, oh, God. I don't know how I made it do that. The smell was so bad, man. No, I was there. The receiving room is worse. Because receiving room, that's where you script them. Now you go from butt ass to just ass. Ass. Oh, you're smelling the ass. Straight up. The shit, I tell you, you can't make this shit up.
Leroy, I love you, man.
No, listen. I'm just keeping it real. They started me off OJT in a woman's house. I went to the woman's house. You know what you smell in a woman's house? Badoosie. I call it Badoosie. It's butt and booty. Badoosie. That's what you smell. That's keeping it real. That's what you smell. And I feel like working in a woman's house was worse than where I was working at. For me. Because when I went in there, they was like, oh, he's a pretty motherfucker. I'm not used to girls coming on to you like that. You know what I'm saying? They so, you know, a lot of guys, hey cutie. They doing that shit to me. Hey, cutie. Oh, I'm going to get him, girl. And I'm like, I got the sky blue shirt on. I'm a New Jack.
You looking good?
Yeah,
fresh.
You know. And they like fresh meat. They calling me fresh meat.
Wow, I've never heard that from a woman's point of view.
Fresh meat. And I'm like, God damn. You know, now they want to put me in a mess hall and they got me on the line. They said, listen, you let eight of them at a time go to the window and get their tray. So I said, okay. But meanwhile, it's nothing but females. No males. Nothing but females in. And you hear, oh, you see that pretty motherfucker? I mean, it's like you hear whispers in your ear and shit, and you can't shake it. I'm going to get him, girl. I'm going to get him. Oh, God, I hope he come to this jail. Meanwhile, I say, okay, eight of y'all go up. I'm trying to act professional. I'm scared to death. I'm in jail. I don't give a fuck if it's a female. Some of these females look like men. You know, you know what I'm saying? For real. Some of these females bigger than me and shit, you know? I'm like, God damn, you know? And they talking all rough. And they cursing at each other, you know? They going at each other, but I'm just trying to stay focused. And I'm like, y'all ain't going on the line. All of a sudden, I feel like, it feel like 20 hands is on my ass. I'm like, oh. And I turn away with them. Now I'm saying, yo, stop that. Y'all stop that. Y'all not supposed to be doing that. And I look to the side eye, I see the captains over there laughing.
They set them up to do it?
They did laughing. And yeah, they laughing, right? So now I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So I'm freaking, you know, captain going to tell them stop. So I'm like, I ain't worried about it. So I turn around again. Next eight go. Once again, Ian, feel like 20 hands on my ass. Yo, y'all got to cut that out, man. And I'm looking at the captains because I'm looking for help. You know, and they over there crying. They hitting each other laughing like, girl. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn sideways. I'm not going to turn my back to them. Turn sideways. Now they can't do nothing. So then after I got comfortable, I turned back. I'm like, they know what time it is. They ain't going to bust with me no more. Ian, I feel somebody breathing on my neck. Yeah, I said, I know nobody breathing on my neck. I turn around, Ian. It's the prettiest Puerto Rican girl with green eyes you ever saw. I'm stuck. I'm like, and all you hear the girl say, oh, you got him, girl. You got him. You got him. And that's when the captain and them come on. We got to take you out of here. And they took your ear. I went home with a headache that day. And I was like, God, I pray, please don't send me back there. Please don't send me back. But what they did was they took me out of there and they put me in their dorm area to show me how they live in.
You got a good experience.
Yo, no. This is crazy, man. You go in the housing area where they're in. It's worse than the men. When I told you butt ass, this is Bodussi. This is worse than the Bodussi. I can't even make up a name for this because they got their bloody pads hanging up on lines.
That's going to be a whole nother episode, Leroy. Leroy, thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. I really appreciate this conversation. You're definitely a new friend of the show. Yeah, so we're going to have you multiple times.
That's right.
Give your takes.
I told you, I'm going to set you on fire.
Yeah, absolutely, you're... man. But safe travels back.
Thank you.
I know it took you guys a while to get here. I appreciate you guys coming out. And I'll see you soon for when he does our show.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you got to come back, you know.
Definitely.
You got to come with him when he does his. So then maybe we'll do a part two to yours when you're here.
No problem. Definitely.
Yeah. You want to say any shout outs to anyone?
Shout outs to all the five barrels. Y'all know who y'all are. I love all of y'all. Shout out just to my mom's ma. I love you. Like I said, I'm so glad he gave me the opportunity to do this. So you see, this is nothing negative. This is something positive that we're doing, so hopefully we can reach out to somebody for them not to go to prison, because jail is not the place to be at all, okay?
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah, take care.